You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy. Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hey, we are just communicating with our sound booth area.
That's right. All is
we're good.
We're giving you all the thumbs up out there this morning.
That's right. Thank you for joining us today with the Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears. We're so glad that you're with us today.
Amen.
And hey, you know, if you're watching, please like and share the broadcast if live or on demand at a later time, because we just want to get the word out about marriage stuff, and we think that it's definitely going to help people. It's helped Donna and I in our life.
Oh, goodness, yes. Now, when they listen to the podcast, can they share that as well? Is that shareable?
That's shareable as well.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
So you can listen to us live on demand.
Awesome.
Certainly, we have a podcast that carries this message out, and a number of different podcasting platforms, from Spotify to Google to Apple to you name it. There's a host of them. So yeah, just like and share the content. We would greatly appreciate that. And so we're really glad you're joining us today. we're going to talk about expectations.
Huge.
And how unmet expectations can trigger us. And so we'll get into that a little bit. And but you might be wondering, okay, well, do I really have unmet expectations? Well, it depends on, you know, if you're feeling frustration in your marriage, if you're feeling some kind of angst, or you're feeling offended toward your spouse,
they're just not hearing me or listening to me, or
you might just have some unmet expectations. It's very possible,
and it's very normal to have unmet expectations.
And then this is, you know, we're not going into this today, but it's really about communication, right? So you have to share expectations, and we'll get into all that over these next couple of weeks. And there's reasons
why. Just
because
you share it doesn't mean that it's agreed upon. So
yeah,
there's a lot of things with expectations. You know, we touched on this at the very beginning of this when we kicked this ministry off, probably second or third episode in. We started our series on expectations way back when.
That was 2021. So we thought it was an opportunity to revisit that. You know,
condense it a little bit, but
yeah, come at it from a different approach this time. Talking about it, but just, you know, how does it play out in our life? So, but I think the first thing, you know, and it's pretty, okay, an expectation, well, let's just define it. So we're all kind of operating from the same base, if you will. So an expectation is a hope, or no, I'm sorry, it is a belief that something will happen or it's likely to happen, you know, in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about that definition, it is something that, it's a belief that you think something's going to happen or it will happen in the future. Mm-hmm. So really what that is, it's a hope. It's a hope that we have. Like, I hope my spouse is, you know, reading between the lines and knows this is something that I need as an expectation. It's going to help me feel fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going
to... And all of what you just described may not even be conscious to you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That might not even be a thought in your head. And
it wasn't for me. That's for sure.
Not me either. And, you know, we're getting upset at each other, you know, because I'm expecting you to do this and you're expecting me to do that, and we've never talked about it or even don't really understand expectations.
Exactly. And so we, you know, you have these, you start to do this internal processing within your heart, within your mind, and you start to get a little bit angry and bitter toward your spouse when those things happen. And so why does that happen?
Well, and if I can interject, I think it's good to have that revelation, right, that I'm not just irritated and frustrated with you as a human being, or vice versa.
Right.
You know, there's now a name that we can put to it, and a recognition that we can put to it.
Exactly.
And once you recognize something and you understand it, you know, because now we'll have an understanding of it, then you can attack it in the spirit realm, and you can attack it as the way that the Lord wants you to, and bring about change in your marriage.
Exactly. Amen. So Proverbs 13:12 says this: hope deferred makes the heart sick. So
that's
hope
so
deferred. So that means that the expectation that you had is being deferred. It's not coming to pass. And so this is when, you know, your heart is kind of hurting and your heart is sick. But then it says, but a desire, meaning that same expectation, when it is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. It's like, oh man, that felt so good that my spouse was following through on an expectation that at that time maybe was known, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was unknown, but they did it anyway, and you were like, oh yeah, that felt really great that they did this. It gives me comfort, It gives me joy. My spouse is thinking about me. They're hearing me. They're listening to me.
So what we're really talking about, hope deferred makes the heart sick, is in when, but a desire fulfilled is the tree of life. We're talking about all the feels there, you mm-hmm. know, like hope deferred makes the heart sick. So you're disappointed, you're frustrated, mm-hmm. you're sad, you're angry. You're resentful, you're bitter, mm-hmm. all of those. And what we're talking about is I've experienced them all.
So have I.
Taken from the Donna playbook and the Richard playbook.
And the Richard playbook.
But yeah, so we're talking about those felt needs, those feelings that happen within a marriage, you know, that can affect your marriage, mm-hmm. highly affect your marriage.
Definitely.
You know, because when you're constantly discouraged by your spouse, let's just say, because he's not doing what you either quote or verbalized or non-verbally or however, mm-hmm. when things like that aren't happening, then you're not on the same page and you don't feel like you are partners and you don't feel like you're connected, you know, all of that stuff.
Right. We make a lot of assumptions.
Play.
And so my wife should know how I feel. She should know that
yeah.
I have this expectation.
Same with me. Yeah.
My husband should know that I have this expectation. I don't know why he is not getting it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, I get upset.
I'm laughing now, but just not funny.
Yeah. I get upset and I'm frustrated and my husband can't see that I'm frustrated and upset or vice versa.
So how does that look like in our life? How did you know I was upset?
Well, you would manifest. No, I mean... I mean, demons were coming out of her. No.
Oh, yeah. Fire in my eyes, probably.
No, I mean, you could just tell just her disposition.
Yeah.
She would let you know. Donna, Pastor Donna's the type of person that wears it on her sleeve. So you know what she's thinking, how she's thinking all the time. She lets you know that, right? For me, how that manifested, I would go silent, mm-hmm. which is a whole other thing that would trigger her because of, you know, her past and upbringing. We were not going to go into that. But that's what would mm-hmm. happen just on a high level about us. And mm-hmm. so then we go 2 or 3 days without talking to each other. And, you know, we're mad at each other. And finally, it's like, okay, we're going to continue to do this for the next year or for the rest of our lives. No, at some point you have to say, we've got to get healthy here in how we relate to one another and when it comes to expectations.
Well, because we weren't setting a good example for our children.
Absolutely not. Because they're going to repeat what they see. That's exactly it. So that leads into a great question.
Yeah.
Where do expectations
absolutely,
come from?
Absolutely. So expectations, they can come from anywhere, really. But the main area that they come from is from your family. Your family of origin. They can come culturally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've got intercultural marriages and mm-hmm. expectations are set for that culture and for this mm-hmm. culture, and you don't talk about it. And now things are not great because, mm-hmm. You know, culturally, it's not flowing like one or the other thought it would.
I mean, we've traveled internationally and, you know, we see that mm-hmm. in the African culture. It's different than the American culture.
It is.
We see that. We saw that in Pakistan. It's the same thing. Culturally, how husbands and wives relate to one another is different. And so culture can have a big influence about how that looks. But we can't allow those things to actually have the final influence. It's really got to be the Word of God.
Amen.
Because we're Christians.
Exactly. A lot of expectations. I don't know if this happens so much for men. You have to speak to that. But for women, you know, there's all of these like stupid romance movies out there, like books that you read, like mm-hmm. these fantasy books and these romance novels or shows and stuff. And it's so unrealistic, let me just mm-hmm. tell you. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, if your expectation of what your husband should or shouldn't do didn't come from watching your mom and dad, it's certainly going to come from social media. It's going to come
movies,
from movies.
Books,
it's going to come
like
from, books and things like mm-hmm. that on how Mr. Romantic acted in this movie and how I was just his only didn't have a job, didn't ever go to the bathroom. I was his only, mm-hmm. you know, priority. And that's so unrealistic and so dangerous, ladies, to grab a hold of.
There's
you
no
know,
doubt
life
about
is
it.
Not like the movies. And so you have to be very careful for that. So expectations a lot for women, I mm-hmm. think, and how men should treat them, even if they're not even like respectable, if you'll mm-hmm. say,
sure,
you know, comes from movies and books and things like that.
Right.
Yeah. So
it can, like for me, I mean, you said it, I think for you, I believe that's what you just said, but I think for me, my expectations, well, you mentioned like family had the biggest influence.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
But yes. You know, for me, family probably had the biggest impact upon, you know, what my expectations were going to look like. Not necessarily in everything, but again, how a husband and a wife are going to relate to one another and what expectations that you would have. So I learned a lot just watching my mom and dad. I think probably you would say the same thing.
Yeah, I think my expectations were definitely, or you know, family of origin, watching my mom and dad for sure. But at the same time, I'm not trying to confuse the topic, but I made a lot of inner vows and bitter root judgments along the way watching that to where now I had expectations on top of, you know, what I saw and experienced and lived with versus now I'm going to add into what I want and don't want and what I'm expecting from a spouse or boyfriend
That's
or husband
good.
Or whatever.
That's really good.
Yeah.
But I would have to say that, you know, probably culture and whether it be reading material or movies or whatever, I was influenced by some of that as well.
Sure.
I definitely, and just, you know, when it comes to sex or lovemaking, all those kinds of things, what gets portrayed in those different realms, I think influenced me on what I thought was going to happen as well. And so I think by far family was the biggest influencer, but there were these other things that were outside influences that did affect me and how I thought and what I expected of you or how I thought things were going to go. And so it's not fair at the end of the day for either one of us to put those kind of expectations on one another. And so we end up having these unmet expectations.
And what happens then is there are triggers. Like he not fulfilling an expectation that I've either spoken or we haven't agreed upon or whatever triggers me in how I manifested, like we talked before. So we're talking today about, you know, how our unmet expectations can be a trigger for me or for you.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So
that's for sure. So, you know, really, you know, we all have them. We all have unmet, if we haven't had them in the most recent, we have had them in our life and marriage. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely happened. No one is immune to this. So why does this happen? Why do we have unmet expectations? Well, the first reason why is that sometimes our expectations are unconscious. We don't even know we have an
expectation.
Which
is what happened with us, that we were just, and a lot of you out there, we were expecting life, married life, to go a certain way based on what we saw growing up, like we were talking about.
Never really put any thought into it. And so I just expected that everything that I saw happening in my mom and dad's marriage, that's how it was going to happen with mine. And so I never spoke that to my wife when we were newly married or even dating. We didn't have conversations about those kinds of things. It was just an unconscious expectation I had because of what I had learned. It was learned behavior.
That's good. So
then I was basically taking that unconscious expectation and applying that to my marriage and to my wife. And like, well, this is how a wife is supposed to be.
And why is she not doing that?
Exactly. And why aren't you doing that?
Why aren't you doing that?
Why? That's the big question. Why?
That's like that in a nutshell. Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing, even though I didn't communicate to you what you're supposed to be doing or what I want you to do?
Yeah, so if we don't realize we have one,
right?
How then can we even communicate to our spouse
exactly
what that expectation is?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point.
If you don't realize you have one, you can't communicate it.
Right.
And so, but you feel disappointed on the inside.
Absolutely.
You feel frustrated.
And you feel...
Or angry or whatever those emotions are that you're dealing
with. Disappointed
with
your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
And you feel let down all the time.
All the time. He's never there for me.
She's never there for me. Then you start telling these stories in our mind, right?
So that's what the enemy wants. He wants that little crack in there so he can get in and continue to fuel the fire that way.
The devil comes to kill, steal and destroy.
And
he wants
Absolutely.
To destroy your marriage.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So and your children's marriage. You know, he's after the legacy.
Yep.
The devil's after your legacy.
He's trying to destroy families. That's
so
for sure.
An example from our life is my dad... and so now we're talking about family of origin, right? And this was an unconscious expectation. It was an unspoken expectation. It wasn't communicated. My dad took care of our cars growing up.
Yeah.
And I use this a lot because it's so like there, you know. I don't really ever remember putting gas in my car. I don't ever remember cleaning my car, changing the oil, checking, none of that.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of that. My car was always ready to go. when I needed to go. And it was just something that I expected.
Yeah.
Growing up, I got to where I expected my car to be ready. Not that I was like, you know, nasty about it or anything, but I just, it's just one of those things that you, I'm going to go out to my car. It's going to be ready to go. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. just one of those things. And you take it for granted. Mm-hmm. And I did, you know, a lot. Growing up, I never, I mean, don't think about it when you're a teenager, right? You right. know, oh, my dad's right. doing this. Well, that yeah. was, you know, an act of service that he was doing for us kids. So we come into marriage, fast forward,
yeah.
and my car is filthy. And now I got to go get gas. And, you know, and I'm not communicating any of that to him. I just know I'm mad about it.
Yeah.
Like, get in the car and it needs gas and I'm just ticked off.
And I'm trying to read the situation. I'm like, I don't even know what's wrong.
Because he's like, go get your own gas. Not that you wouldn't do it if I asked you to, sure. but we just didn't communicate that.
We didn't communicate it. So yeah. I'm trying to understand as the guy here, I'm like, okay, my wife's upset. She's visibly
upset. She's slamming doors. She's mad.
She's silent right now. Not normally, but she's silent right now because I guess if she were to spew or to let out in frustration what's going inside of her, it would probably be worse than it should be. So,
yep.
you know, so she's just kind of like trying to contain this thing. It's like a pressure relief valve ready to blow.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't have a clue. I don't
exactly.
get it.
And that's, you're thinking, you're
hey,
thinking,
that's typical
what is
for
wrong
most
with her?
Men. We don't get it sometimes, all right? Help us,
God
please.
How about you? How about an example from your life?
Yeah, well, you know, with mom, you know, our mom and dad basically came from the same generation. And so, but what I saw with my mom and dad was that my mom did everything. You know, it was, she was handling like the finances, personal finances of the home. She was cooking, she was cleaning, she was doing the laundry, making the beds. I mean, I didn't have to make my bed as a kid. You know, she would.
You didn't?
No, she would make it.
That's a new fact I didn't know about him.
Okay, well, there you go.
Fun fact.
Number, whatever that number is. But, you know, she did all of these things. So I was spoiled,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah,
as a, and
for
I mean,
sure.
she may have done these things for my sister and my brother. I don't know. So you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, you know, Sandy and Steve. But at least that's what I saw and I experienced. So then I see this my whole upbringing.
Yeah. yeah.
Not you know,
have to lift a finger.
Not
when
lifting,
you're home,
not
anyway,
lifting a finger, right? Going to school, playing sports, you know, doing my studies and just having fun. And everything else is taken care
doing
of.
Doing whatever Richard wanted to do.
That's pretty much it. So here again, therein lies the expectation, unconscious, mind you, because
yeah,
I didn't
good.
Know that I had it. I just knew that that's what I saw, and then that's
expected
what I
expected to go that way.
It was going to go that way because that's how all marriages operate and function. Little did I know that, you know, we're bringing two different worlds together.
Oh,
man, I was just
goodness.
So naive and
same.
So
same.
I had no common sense, no wisdom at all about anything. I was just in my own world. I mean, it's funny now.
It is now. I said what I was going to say.
It wasn't
like,
then.
It's funny now, but man.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
wow.
I was aloof. I did not get it at all, you know, that I was actually doing this to my wife. And then
it's all my fault. Like,
it's all your
yeah,
fault. Then
yeah.
I'm getting upset. Like, okay, why is my wife not, you know, I'm just grumbling on the inside. Just, why is my wife not doing this? Or why
doesn't
is she doing
it? Doesn't she know how hard I work? Doesn't she know?
Exactly.
She?
Haven't you heard that before?
I've
You don't understand what I'm dealing with at work right now. Well, you don't understand what I'm dealing with at home with all the kids and raising a family and going to work too, buddy.
Yeah, I do. I work a full-time job
so,
and do everything around the house.
Exactly. So, you know, again, no clue, but that's what I saw. Again,
yeah.
family had
yeah.
the biggest influence on me when it came to some of these unconscious expectations. And so I'm putting that on you unfairly, and it's not right. And so we get triggered by that.
Oh, my. Big time.
You know, and the triggers we've mentioned already. So it's frustration. It's disappointment. It's, you know, I'm mad. I'm
Which what? Ultimately leads to isolation. Like, I don't want to be around you, and you don't want to be around me because I'm not doing what you expect me to do, and you certainly aren't doing what I'm expecting you to do.
Right.
And, gosh, it's just a big tear.
It is.
It's a big rip.
Yeah. It's a huge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. I mean, it really
gap
is sad.
Between
yep.
our lives, you know, emotionally speaking. And so we're just having this struggle. So here's the thing that I want you to understand about unmet expectations. We're not aware of them until the disappointment and the frustration sets in.
And even then, and I'm just going to repeat this, because even then you may not be aware that that's what's going on until you hear something like this and other teachers out there that explain expectations. But if you're, like you're saying, what you didn't say, and I know what you're trying to say, mm-hmm. is if you're feeling disappointed, if you're mm-hmm. feeling frustrated with your spouse, if you're constantly like, oh, I got to take the trash out again. Oh, I got to start the dishwasher. You've got unmet expectations mm-hmm. that haven't been spoken to and or agreed upon.
Yeah.
And so it's worth a sit down. It's worth a sit down and worth a chat. So
yeah, you can save yourself a lot of pain and heartache like we didn't do, you know, in our early 20s and even early 30s for that matter.
Yeah.
We didn't have these kind of conversations. And so thank God there's great marriage counselors and teachers out there that helped us to see things and just, you know, just emotionally healthy training that we received that really helped us to see things in a new light and
healing,
new perspective.
Healing, deliverance, so, you know, all of that.
Absolutely.
I'm so thankful for that. So the first, you know, reason why we have unmet expectations like we've been talking about is because it's unconscious, right?
Right.
We don't even know. We don't even talk about it. The second is your expectations are unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to lay that out there. So you're not able to see things as they really are. You're expecting mm-hmm. your spouse to do something that either physically can't happen or time's sake can't happen.
It's really based on what you want and what
absolutely.
You're hoping for.
Absolutely.
But it's never been communicated.
And it's never communicated, but it's unrealistic. And it's just...
It's been communicated.
It's unfair to put our spouse in this position, because what happens is we end up blaming them. Mm-hmm. Our spouse is the blame for our unhappiness, you know, even when we haven't really communicated this expectation.
Yep.
And on top of that, like this expectation is unrealistic. Like, do we have an example of that? Like,
well,
I'm
kind of thinking it's not marriage, but it's the corporate world that I used to be in when I worked in the automotive industry. But I'm thinking about, like, I had a responsibility to manage a large team, 27 to 30 people. And so, you know, one of the things you have to do as a manager is you have to understand workload and the demands of the job and what it's required of the person and what have you. I could continue to place demand on people, mm-hmm. right? But is that demand that I'm placing beyond, number one, their capability?
Right.
And number two, is it really beyond the scope of the work that's necessary to achieve the mission and the goals of the organization, right?
Right.
And so many times what happens, at least I saw in the corporate world, is, and it's applicable to marriages too, is that I had set some unrealistic expectations at time, and then I start to see the frustration and the bitterness and the anger toward me because, one, we didn't have a conversation about mm-hmm. it, or one, I wasn't thinking about it because, for whatever reason, too busy, whatever. But that's no excuse. When you're leading people, it's your responsibility to oversee mm-hmm. and understand what the load that those persons are carrying, you know, under your command, so to speak. So it's the same thing in marriage.
Yeah.
And what we do, like, this is the point I wanted to get to as well, is I ended up blaming the person for not achieving the results mm-hmm. that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't fair to them.
Exactly, exactly.
Because I didn't understand what I was doing and putting them in.
Yeah, here's an example. Yeah, that's good. Here's an example marriage-wise. You know, I have an expectation, an unrealistic expectation, that I want you to cook dinner every night.
Yeah.
Right? But I want dinner.
You'd be really hungry.
I want dinner to be ready and on the table by 5:30. You work until 6.
Mm-hmm.
So an unrealistic expectation that I'm putting out there is you're the guy that cooks dinner. I've been with the kids all day, or I've worked, you know, 9 hours today, or whatever whatever it is, the excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And dinner isn't on the table until 7:30 because you don't get home. You know, it's things like that that is just unrealistic. It's so unrealistic. It's not attainable.
Right.
And so, again, all of those feelings, frustration, disappointment, mm-hmm. anger, sadness, all of those come in because there's no way that, and you know it, but we don't communicate, right? So we're mm-hmm. you're not saying, babe, I work till 6. Or maybe I'm like, I want dinner on the table at 5:30, knowing that you get off at 4:30, but it's unrealistic because there are times when you work late, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. So those are like practical example. That's a practical, I think, example of an unrealistic expectation. Mm-hmm. And it can apply through every area, obviously, of your relationship.
Absolutely.
Proverbs 18:2. Did you want to read that? Or no, you're on 13:14. It says, fools have no interest. You're going to read that one?
No, go ahead. I'm going to read it in the Amplified after you read it in the NLT.
Proverbs 18:2 in the NLT says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinion. There's a lot of proverbs out there that are like that, you know, talks about fools and and just no wisdom, no understanding, and it's all about them. Mm-hmm. You're a fool. You're a flat out fool if all you worry about is yourself. You're very selfish. You're not loving. You're not nurturing. You're not protect. Your wife doesn't feel protected. Your husband doesn't feel respected. And so it's just a vicious, vicious cycle that you can get into.
When unrealistic expectation, as you were talking about, my expectation is based on what I want and I hope for. So it's all about I. It's not we. It's me. You know. So here's the Amplified version of Proverbs 18:2 that Donna just read. It says, a close-minded fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his personal opinions, unwittingly displaying his self-indulgence and his stupidity. So if you're not willing to, you know, take the perspective of what's reality here,
right,
then you're very selfish and you're really being unfair to your spouse by putting a unrealistic expectation upon them. Because they're never going to meet it. And the standard is in this, whatever the case is, may be too high.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're asking them to try to achieve something that they can't do consistently. And so you're always going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Because you just want what you want.
Yeah.
You don't really care about the balance of the we.
Yeah.
It's really about you and what you want.
And so the flip side of that coin, you know, we've been talking about my expectations for him and his for me, but you can put an expectation on yourself and be disappointed in that as well. And for example, from my life,
this is a great point.
Yeah. So it's not just him, you know, throwing darts at me and me at him. A big expectation I had in my life that I was going to be super mom, mm-hmm. right? I was going to handle everything, do everything because I was the only one. I don't think I had the thought that I was the only one that could do it right. It just functioned that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like nobody could do it like I wanted it done, mm-hmm. let's just say, or as good as me maybe, but I don't know that I actually thought that. It's just how I acted.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm going to be super mom. I'm going to be super wife. I'm going to be super friend. I'm going to be everything to everybody. And as you're hearing me talk, that is so unrealistic.
Well, it leads to burnout.
It leads to burnout. But what it does, because I can't even meet half of that,
right.
even though I tried day in and day out, then I'm disappointed in myself. I'm a failure as a mother. I'm a failure as a wife. I'm a failure as a sister, as a friend, as a daughter, mm-hmm. all of that. And that is a trigger. Then that triggers me. That leads into just a downward spiral because I am being totally unrealistic in what I am physically, mentally able to do in a day.
You're looking for affirmation, right? At the end of the day, because
I didn't know it at the time.
Well,
but
I'm just kind of as you're sharing with me, it's like, okay, there's people out there, husbands included in this, that
mm-hmm.
we're thinking about these things, and we're saying, okay, well, I'm going to get my value out of what I do. I'm going to be this super person that can do all things at all times and meet everybody's needs, and you can't do it. It's not realistic.
Yeah.
Everybody has limits in their life,
absolutely.
And you have to understand your limits, and sometimes you just have to say no to things, and that's okay.
Oh, gosh, that was such a great day when I realized I could say no. The gift of no, we called it.
The gift of no, yeah. You know, for me...
Other people didn't like it, but I certainly liked
when
it.
When we were first married, again, this comes from culture and not necessarily family, but, you know, I thought, you know, anytime I wanted to have sex, we were going to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I realize that, you know, my wife is physically worn out from her day, you know. She went to a job. She's coming home. She's got the kids. She's trying to prepare dinner. And, like, the last thing she's thinking about is wanting to be with me intimately. It wasn't even on the radar,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-mm.
And on top of that, if you have all these other triggers, these bitter feelings and disappointment from already unmet expectations, right? she's not emotionally attracted to me right now anyway.
I'm not even mentally prepared
to
be intimate.
So these were things when we first came into the marriage, like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, we're going to be married. You can have sex anytime I desire it. It's going to be awesome.
Me,
there's the me monster. So let alone, you know, that my wife would have some desire in that realm to be fulfilled also. She does. And so, but all it was about, it was about me again, right? It just back to the whole pattern that I saw with my parents growing up that, you know, as long as mom was doing everything, I'm happy. So she didn't want to be my mom anymore. So that was, that's where the headbutting
rub
began.
Came in.
That's when the sandpaper began to happen. Mm-hmm. And we had to start to rub off some of these sharp edges and smooth ourselves out a little bit, make this edges.
That's a good word. That's like a new word.
Hey, the edge.
It.
Yeah. Sorry. I guess it's plural and
it's
singular.
Usually me doing that.
Yeah. I'm not a grammar student, okay? My strength has been mathematics and sciences.
Oh, yes.
So anyway,
oh, yes.
we'll you can help me with the grammar.
You're good.
All right. So what about some other examples? Okay, well, my spouse is responsible for my happiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's never gonna happen.
Mm-mm. You know, all of our time should be spent together.
Should each of us try to make each other happy and bring joy into each other's lives? Absolutely. But to put them on a pedestal to say they're going to be and fulfill all of my happiness, that is an expectation, very unrealistic, that they're never going to be able to meet, not consistently. They can for once in a while here or there or whatever, but it's not going to be consistent. And that's too much pressure to put upon a person, your spouse. And so don't do that. Another one is all of our time should be spent together. I mean, in some regard, I had that belief because I saw that with my mom and dad, again, from my family upbringing. I saw my mom doing and dad doing life together and about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, my dad wouldn't play golf from time to time. My mom would go out to lunch with her friends and things like that. But most of everything that happened in their life, they did it together.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's a bad thing. But when you have an expectation that you bring in from your upbringing into the marriage and your wife has a different expectation that, no, I'm going to be able to go do things with my friends from time to time, and it's healthy and it's good,
right?
As it is for me. And so, but when you think that way, you're putting an unrealistic expectation on your spouse that you don't need to. What are some other ones there that maybe some other examples?
My spouse should know when I'm hurting, afraid, or upset. We talked about that early on.
Mm-hmm.
My spouse should always agree with me. That was big for you.
Huge.
Like you.
I thought you hated me when you didn't agree with me.
Yeah.
Like I don't like you.
Like I would say, babe, I could have my own opinion and it not, you know, affect our relationship. Like it doesn't mean that I'm, you know, love you any less, you know, when we don't agree on something. Now, eternal things, obviously. We weren't thinking about that back then, but that was huge for him. Like she should have the same mindset, the same thought, the same think about the things the same way that I think about them, have the same opinion. And when I didn't, man, I was the enemy. You know, you shut down so quick and the silent treatment was there, which obviously is a trigger for me. He didn't know that maybe you did or didn't know it at the time.
I think a part of that for me is, speaking of triggers, is it was a rejection, right? So when you didn't, you know, see it the same way I did or you had a different opinion, then I felt that as a rejection to me. And so that's when I would shut down, like, okay, well, she doesn't like me, or she doesn't like how I think, or I'm wrong.
We're two different people.
Whatever. But you can see how these triggers play off. You should never argue in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. That's an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah.
And everybody
yeah.
out there that's listening, watching, whatever, you know that's not true anyway. But
absolutely.
That can be unrealistic. You may have seen that in your home. You never saw your parents argue with each other at all. And so you're like, well, that's how it should be in my marriage.
And you know, not that there's ever any argument. I mean, as you age, I guess, and our marriage is more seasoned now, that's few and far between. But you know, there is a right and a wrong way to conflict resolution in your marriage. And so, you know, we've done a series on that as well, you know, how to fight fair in marriage. So
right.
if that's something you struggle with, you can go back, reviveonl.com, and you can go back and look that series up. I would encourage you to do that because there are things that you shouldn't say and shouldn't do when you are looking for resolution with conflict in your marriage.
That's true. So there's reasons, guys. That's what we're talking about. There's reasons why you have unmet expectations. And we talked about two today. We're going to talk about two more next week.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of touched on them a little bit, but we'll talk about them more next week. But They're unconscious expectations. You don't even realize you have them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're and then there's unrealistic expectations. So this is why in some cases you have these unmet expectations. And when you have unmet expectations, you're going to be triggered.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have these these raw emotions of disappointment and anger and frustration and bitterness and resentment. All these things start to kind of pile up on the inside. But what you need to do is sit down and talk about it. Talk about your expectations.
Well, and the first step is for you yourself, because you're only responsible for you, is to ask yourself, ask Holy Spirit, you know, why do I feel frustrated in this situation? Help me understand why I'm mad at my husband, because nothing really happened that I can put my finger on. And so you've got to understand the why. So if you're feeling, if you have those feelings of frustration and disappointment, you need to understand the why. And a lot of times, it, like you're saying, it comes back to those unmet expectations.
That's for sure.
So the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Right. Which is really what we're talking about
Absolutely.
Today. We're trying to bring some knowledge. We're trying to bring some wisdom from our own life and marriage to you.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. That scripture is so true and right. But the thing is, you just can't take it in and it be an intellectual assent that you now have more knowledge.
Exactly.
And you actually have
exactly.
to apply it.
Yeah.
Right. So the application of it is number one, recognizing that you do have expectations. Secondly, that there are some unmet ones. And maybe that the other thing is you haven't even talked about it yet.
Amen. Amen.
So you might take all this in and you might say,
that's a lot of info.
This is a lot of info, Pastors Richard and Donna.
Yeah.
You've shared a lot right now. Well, you can go back and listen, watch this again at your convenience. But you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You're never alone. One, we can be a resource for you. We're not God. We're not Holy
Amen.
Spirit.
Amen.
But we can be a resource to you to kind of help you navigate this particular area that you might be going through in your life and not really understand it. Maybe you have a better understanding of it now. But you don't have to do it alone. And here's the reason why. The Spirit of God, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God will come and live on the inside of you. That's powerful.
It is, man.
Right? So, yeah, knowledge is power, yes.
Took me back to when I gave my life to the Lord. You know, it was like I was just in remembrance for a moment there,
yeah.
which is so sweet. I'm just so grateful.
Yeah.
So grateful.
So knowledge is powerful, yes. But who lives on the inside of you is even more powerful.
Amen.
And he can activate the knowledge that we've shared with you today.
Hallelujah. Yes.
So that it actually becomes a part of your life and your marriage so that you'll be successful. That's what we want. We
so
want
you can
your,
do a
we want
new
your marriage
thing.
And your life to be
yes.
successful. We want it
yes.
to be happy. We want you to have joy and peace and comfort in your marriage. We want all those things for you, but we can't be there. Like Jesus, when he left, he said, you know, when I go away and leave you, he's speaking to his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's better for me to go because I'm going to send the helper.
Mm-hmm. That's
I'm
right.
going to send the
Amen.
Helper to teach you into
Amen.
All things. That's what the Spirit of truth does.
Amen.
He leads you into all truth. And so when you apply this knowledge, when you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, you're empowered
yes.
to make right decisions.
Yes.
He gives you the ability to make right choices and right decisions. And so it comes down to this. If you've never given your life to Christ, it comes down to this. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Hmm.
Because he's going to help you be successful in your marriage.
Amen.
You have to recognize the need that you have for a Savior, one. But you also need to recognize that he's going to send a helper when you give your life to him. But you have to recognize that you're a sinner, that you're fallen. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory mm-hmm. of God. We've all sinned. Everybody
Amen.
Born into this world since Adam and Eve, since
That's
the
right.
garden. That's when sin began in the world. That's when disobedience began. And so we all need a Savior. We all need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so you have to recognize that you're a sinner, that you have fallen short of the mark. If you look at a bullseye, the sinner is perfection. We can never hit that every time, right? We're going to miss the mark. That's why Jesus came, because he could hit the mark and we couldn't. So when you recognize that you need a Savior, that you are a sinner, then you repent of your sins. You repent and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. For forgiving me. Thank you for doing a work on the cross that I couldn't do for myself. And when you repent of your sin, then you receive, it's a free gift. It's
mm-hmm.
a free gift of salvation. And it's not by work. So you can say, well, I'm a good person. Or that's all fine and good. You want to do good things, right? But that doesn't save you. That doesn't give you eternal life. That doesn't give you the helper who needs to live on the inside of you to empower you to make right choices and decisions in your marriage, to actually apply the knowledge that we've talked about today.
Amen.
So would you do that today? Would you give your life to Christ? Would you have a new beginning? Today's the day of salvation. It can start today. And with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, your marriage will be changed. I can guarantee it, because He changed ours.
Yes, He did.
He changed ours. We had a trajectory that we wouldn't be together, but I can tell you by...
Or we would be, and we'd be completely miserable.
Oh, yeah. But we have a power living on the inside of us that is transforming us and changing us and helping us to do right things.
Amen.
So would you do that? Just pray this prayer with me out loud. Speak it in your heart and receive Jesus today. Well, dear Lord Jesus, I recognize today that I am a sinner, that I am fallen, that I can't do right on my own, and I can't save myself. I recognize that. I recognize that I need You. I need You first and foremost in my life. And I repent of my sin. I repent of the sin that I either know of or I don't know of. But I repent of all those things. And I thank You that You came and You died on the cross and You received all the punishment that I deserve. You took that for me. And I thank You that you were risen to life again on the third day after You were put in the grave. You came and You rose again to show us that You had victory over sin and over death. And I receive that free gift now that You paid a price for me to have. Thank You for the free gift. I accept the free gift of salvation. I thank You that I don't have to earn it, but You've given it to me because You love me. I pray these things, and I receive You now, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer with Pastor Richard, welcome to the family of God. Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So when you prayed that prayer with Pastor Richard, you called on the name of the Lord. And so by the authority of God, of God's word, you are saved. You're born again. And from this moment forward, you're on your way to heaven because you have Jesus in your heart. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. So if amen. You prayed that prayer, we just want you to do one quick thing. Go to revivalnow.com. Right on that front page, there's a big red button that says, "I just got saved." Go ahead and click that. Fill out that information. What that does, it comes to Pastor Richard and I. Specifically, and we will get you some resources in your ebooks and electronic stuff that will get to you in your email. And there's also a series of 4 video clips that from Evangelist Dan that will help you along your journey and your new life in Christ.
Amen.
So just go to revivalnow.com, click the "I just got saved," follow the prompts from there.
Amen.
Well, that's it.
Thanks for joining us today. We love you guys. Look forward to seeing you again next week. We're going to finish this up with part 2, and I know you're going to be blessed by it.
Amen.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.